I'm going to read the chorus of one of my favorite songs. I know it's one of Dudley and Dean's favorite songs to sing, and speak to it this morning. So this is the chorus. Oh, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, as on thy highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea where mansions are prepared for me. View the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home, forevermore. My heaven, ownership. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Sure I am.
My heaven, my home, for whom? Did you ever really think about that? As a Christian pilgrim here gazes on the Holy Land in the song, we discover an interesting fact. The pilgrim is looking away across the sea. The pilgrim has not yet reached that promised land because it's evidently across the sea. Now, why may this be important? Possibly it isn't. Why would it be important? In the 21st chapter of John's Revelation, we read the following in the 21st chapter, first verse. I'll just read it to you, but we will be looking up some scripture in a little bit. But I just want to read these words from the book, because it begins, "And after these things," which he had previously been writing about, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in saying, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the God, our Lord, the God." I think maybe we need to understand something. There is no sea in the new heaven and new earth. So he was looking over the sea, and he saw it. What a sight that must have been. Think about that. Think about the sight that was. Again, I read, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth will pass away, and there was no more sea." Well, beloved, maybe it's possible. And that's what I want to think about. I want us to think about the possibilities here. Don't you go out and tell people, "Brother Lou says this is the way it is." I'm saying this is possibly the way it is, okay? Got that straight? But I want us to think about it. I want us to think about it. Because it got me to thinking. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need to be thinking about something. Here we discover the apostle finds no sea exists in the new heaven and new earth God created at the end of time for the believers, just as there is no sea in the original paradise. Prior to the fall of our earthly parents. Now the word Beulah, BJ and I were discussing that this morning, the word Beulah is found one time and one time only in the entire Bible. I thought that was interesting. Just one time. It is found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 62. 62nd chapter, prophet Isaiah. I begin reading with verse 1. I want you to listen now to the words from the book. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. That doesn't make a lot of sense. They say, what is Isaiah talking about? I find it extremely interesting that the old Hebrew word Beulah alluded to our word today, marriage. The land of marriage. Interesting, isn't it? Now listen as I read the chorus of that popular old hymn. Verse by verse, I guess. But I'll read the chorus again, and then we'll go through it verse by verse. I want you to listen to the words now. O Beulah, land, sweet Beulah land, as on thy highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea where mansions are prepared, and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. Do you suppose it's just possible that this hymn, based on that Old Testament word Beulah, was referring to the new heaven and the new earth that Peter declared was to be the home of the bride, Jesus Christ? His church, for whose salvation he died on that bloody Roman cross, is the church. His body, the body of Christ. Amen? Do you just suppose it might just be that that sweet land where mansions are now prepared, that place where this holy book calls the new heaven and the new earth, do you suppose maybe that's what it's all about? Now verse 1 of this old hymn informs us of the attributes of heaven. Verse 1, I've reached the land of joy divine, and all its beauty now is mine. Here shines undimmed one blissful day, for all my night passed away. It informs us of the attributes of heaven, a land of eternal joy. No sickness, no death, no pain, no suffering. It boasts to us of its beauty, of its blissful and eternal days, of a place where there is no darkness, no night. Now that comes right out of our Revelation reading in chapter 21. So I will read that again just to help us visualize maybe this is what he's talking about. I saw the new heaven and the new earth, as we said earlier. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true, faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst at the fountain of the water of life free. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Couldn't be any plainer than that, but it's possible, isn't it? Maybe it's just possible. Verse 2 assures us that Jesus Christ will walk and talk with his bride, who consists of the born-again believers of his living body now, presently on earth. The Savior comes. Verse 2, the Savior comes and walks with me. And sweet communion here have we. He gently leads me with his hand. For this is heaven's borderland. Welcome to the border. Amen. Welcome to the border. Yes, he welcomes all those who are trusting in his shed blood on Calvary's cross, back there in the Roman Empire 2,000 plus years ago, shed for his people. He welcomes us to enter into his eternal kingdom. It's possible. Quite possible. Verse 3 further establishes the perfect atmosphere and beautiful landscape of this inheritance, almost reminding us of the original garden, the first garden, the first paradise. Listen, a sweet perfume upon the breeze is born from ever vernal trees. And flowers that never fading grow, where streams of life forever flow. I think it's possible. That, beloved, is our inheritance. We discover the flowers that will never lose their blossoms. And we were talking about the flowers and the bright colors of the ladies wearing spring. I love spring. Don't you love the spring? Flowers that will never lose their blossoms. The streams that will forever flow. This is the perfect environment for the perfect creatures God created in the first place. This is God's plan for his people laid out before the foundation of the world. His plan for his people. Now inhabiting a poor lost world and about to step in at God's time, the promised land, heaven, beautiful, maybe. The fourth verse finds those precious verses of King David's 23rd Psalm come to fruition. And yes, I'm going to read them simply because it's so clear here. Psalm 23 reads thusly, beginning with verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. A table is going to be placed before us. Somewhere in the Bible it refers to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Remember that? It's possible, isn't it? Just possible. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I think that sometimes we take a lot of things for granted. But that last verse says it pretty well, I think. Read. The zephyrs seem to float to me, sweet sounds of heaven's melody, as angels with the white robe song join in the sweet redemption song. We discover the calming zephyrs, the gentle breezes of unimaginable peace and unimaginable comfort. The soothing melodies of safety and absolute security. Think about it. Absolute, 100% secure. The angelic host joins us in songs of praises, of redemption, of joy unspeakable, and full of glory. Let us now, and I appreciate your patience, but let us now read it in its entirety and suppose for just a minute. I've reached the land of joy divine, and all its beauty now is mine. Here shines undimmed one blissful day that all my night has passed away, and the Savior comes and walks with me in sweet communion. Here have we, gently leads me with his hand, for this is heaven's borderland. The sweet perfume upon the breeze is borne from evergreen trees, the flowers that never fading grow, where streams of life forever flow. The zephyrs seem to float to me, sweet sounds of heaven's melody, His angels with the white robes on, joining in the sweet redemption. Oh, beautiful land, sweet beautiful land is on my highest mountain. I stand. I look away across the sea where mansions are prepared for me. And view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. This is what the non-believer says is fantasy. This is what the non-believer refuses to even say is possible. But I believe it. I am foolish enough in the eyes of the world to believe it. Let us, after we've heard some of these things from the scriptures, and suppose a little bit that the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and King David wrote of something they themselves did not completely understand, and yet quite possibly might have written hopefully, looking to the future. God plans for all who believe in him. Yes, beloved, the prophet Isaiah, the king David, the apostle Peter, and the apostle John. There he was on the Isle of Patmos looking toward the same thing Isaiah was prophesying about. The same thing that King David wrote about, the same thing that the apostles died to proclaim. Beloved people, are you trusting Jesus this morning for your salvation? Just suppose what I'm sharing you with, right? What I'm sharing with you. Just suppose that it is. Are you trusting Jesus this morning? I want you to think on these things. I want you to think on these things. What if it is just possible that what I preached to you this morning is true? And more importantly, my friends, do you even care? Do you even care? I pray you do. That's my prayer. That you care.